All right, one of my favorite times of the day, the hour of divine mercy, an hour in which you and I will pray together. Man, there's a power in this hour. When two or more gathered, Christ is present, and when you and I are praying for each other and really crying out. Sometimes when things are hard, right, you're on your knees. I think that's when our prayers sometimes ring the loudest. We really do. I want to pray for peace in the world. I want to pray for anyone who has fear or anxiety. I was thinking about Dr. Gahn's question. You know, what is robbing you of your peace? What is bringing you fear? At the very heart of all that is Satan. He's a supreme liar. And he wants to whisper into your ears discouragement. He wants to give you the false notions, you know, that God can't help you with this one. You'll never get out of it. He likes to exacerbate those false memories or exaggerate situations or foment misunderstanding or create even deeper divides and division. He can make you hear something other than what the person is saying. And I've seen it many, many times. In my own career, I've seen this. And I'll come away and say, man, Satan must hate what I'm doing because that is not the conversation we had. That is not what was intended. That was not. Satan has a way of twisting things, right? And in terms of your anxiety, that's a form of fear. The devil makes you dread for the future, right? For your job, maybe for your health. Maybe you're anxious and concerned about your family. He wants you to live a life of fear. He wants you to be afraid because his minions are parasites. That's really what they are, right? They're parasites. They use fear to energize and materialize their disembodied existence. That's what they do. They revel in your fear. They feed off of it. They love your anxiety. They swim in it. They get empowered by your anger. You know what St. Francis de Sales once wrote? He said, fear is a greater evil than evil itself. Let's contemplate that. I mean, that's a pretty interesting thought. Fear is a greater evil than evil itself. That's why Scripture tells you don't worry, right? It's not going to add a day to your life. But faith moves mountains, trusts, you know, works miracles. We know all these things. So when you're tempted to give up, think about, I think it's Galatians 6:9, where it says, don't grow weary in doing what's right, for in due season you shall reap it, or you shall reap if you faint not, is the quote. And, you know, we just got to stay the course. God's with us. You may be in that valley, but believe me, you'll get out of it. You might be in that dark tunnel. There's light at the end of it. Don't give up. Stay determined. Shake off the weariness that you're in right now. Put on a new attitude, knowing that God is in control. And I guarantee you, you'll see his promise come to pass. So instead of complaining about how long the battle's taking or how tired you are of this or how God never hears your prayer, you should be saying, this too shall pass. This is not permanent. It's only temporary. I am not destined for this. I am destined for freedom and for liberty and for peace and for joy, and I'm going to move forward. That should be your message when you're faced with these difficult trials. And just you look at the scriptures, you see the children of Israel, you take a look at the great saints. I mean, they're great examples to all of us. Let's pray right now for you, okay? Let's pray and ask God really to vanquish that anxiety and the fear that we may have, to give us that faith that we need to move mountains. And let's pray for one another, because there are brighter futures for you. I guarantee you that. I mean, God works things out in ways that only in retrospect you can look back on and say, oh, man, I wish I had even more faith. You know, I wish I didn't doubt God. You know, you look back and you see he has never, ever abandoned you. Look where you are right now, right? No matter where you are, no matter how life has been treating you, there's always that opportunity to pull yourself up and turn what seems like a situation without an exit into a victory. So that's how I look at life. At least I try to. I'm not perfect. But I'd ask you to pray for me too. I need your prayers. I need my own faith to deepen and my trust to deepen. So I value your prayers. Please pray for me and let's pray together. I pray every afternoon, of course, with my colleague, Maggie. And Maggie, believe it or not, everyone, she's down now just about 2 days, 2.5 days of programming. And then she's going to get married. She's going to walk down the aisle. How many hours, Maggie? Yesterday it was less than 100. Who knows, right?
Know. I'll have to track.
We're down to 80-some hours, I'm going to say. 76 hours to your wedding. It'll be fun. How are you doing? Anything you want to pray for?
Well, great. I'm reeling here from your preaching right there.
Preaching,
wish I needed to give an amen to that. That was great. Life is good right now. I'm just waiting for all my family to come in and I just pray I don't forget anything. There's lots of items I need to bring with me.
I know a lot of people are thinking about you, Maggie, and you're getting a lot of prayers, too. You're part of the family here. Somebody said to me, "Dear Drew and Maggie, prayers for Maggie and Joe." Drew, too. Says here, she's such a sweet person, a wonderful Drew. Personality with a calming voice.
Oh,
wow. May they all have their prayers answered, a safe honeymoon, and a continued George and Mary Bailey wonderful life forever.
Oh, my goodness.
Grow old along with me. The best is yet to come. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in the hand of in his hand who saith, let me make sure I get this right. A whole I planned, youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. I'll have to send it to you because I butchered that line that they sent in that email. Certainly terrible delivery. That's why I don't read poetry to my wife.
Oh, my gosh.
It just would not go over well. That was Robert Browning, actually. And it goes on, but I will forward it to you. Hey, Joe in Leander, Texas. Thanks for sending that email to me and to Maggie. Also, one other one here. Rita writes to us. She says, I just want to extend my best wishes to Maggie on her upcoming marriage and wedding day, praying that she has a wonderfully blessed day in life together with her husband, Joe. And she's all the best wishes for the walk to Mary this weekend, praying for a fruitful experience. And we'll be praying for you there on that walk. So a lot of people, Maggie, praying for you. It's fun.
Well, you know what? I include the walk to Mary participants in my rosary intentions along with our wedding this weekend. I pray for great weather and everyone's safety and health and well-being. So.
Well, I looked at the weather forecast for your wedding. Looks
it
good.
Looks beautiful.
Looks like a beautiful day.
I'm so excited.
We'll have to check out the weather forecast in Italy for your honeymoon. We'll have to see what that looks like.
It's going
to
be nice.
Let's pray away the rain, right? It should be gorgeous in May to be in Italy. Well, let's pray. We'll give God thanks for the blessings of our life, for the crosses of our life, for all that he has in store for us. And we'll just bring you right now, whatever your intentions are before the Lord. And we'll begin as we do every day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Minnesota first. Joe is listening to us there. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling in today for my 13-year-old son who's waiting for a heart transplant.
Oh, no. Lord. Joe, we're here with you. All right. We're going to stand in prayer for your son and that you'll have many healthy years with him, okay? And we'll just put him in the hands of the Lord. Lord, I pray right now for Joe. As a father, I can't imagine what he's going through. I remember when my daughter had her tonsils out and I was a mess, just seeing her there. I mean, it's so ridiculous, right? A heart transplant is something so radically more grave and difficult. But Lord, I often preach holding out a big cup and trusting. And I just ask right now for Joe's son. I pray for the surgeons that will perform this procedure. I pray for that heart that he'll be receiving. And I pray for his instant and total recovery. Lord, if it be your will, I pray for complete healing. Father Ron Pytel was the cause for the canonization of St. Faustina. And the miracle that brought about St. Faustina's sainthood dealt with the heart, with the coronary issues, and Father Pytel and his healing. So let's pray right now. Let's pray. I ask you, Father Pytel, in a particular way, along with St. Faustina, to intercede for this family. Anyone having coronary issues, cardiac problems, needing angioplasties, transplants, bypasses, whatever it may be. Anyone who's got arrhythmias and Lord, you know all the problems that are there. I want to pray for my buddy Doug, who's been struggling in this area as well. And I lift these souls to you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Tino in Austin, Texas. Hi, Tino.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm well, Tino. Thank you. Thanks for asking. How can we pray for you?
Good, good. I'm calling with a praise report.
All right.
Just now at 3 p.m. Central, my wife was released from the hospital, and she will be transferred to a rehab for about a month.
Well, praise God for that, Tino. I am happy to hear that. I know you had called previously, and I think it was, I forget the day. I just remember your voice, and I remember your intention. I'm so grateful for your call back. Let's continue to pray for your wife and for your relationship, that two of you can live many healthy years together. And Lord, I pray for health today. I pray for those who have loved ones that are ill, those who are suffering physical maladies and disabilities, and trials. I want to pray for those, especially with mental challenges as well, those who are having emotional difficulties with anxiety and depression, who are overcome by fear. Lord, I want to pray for those with gender disorders and just those who are disoriented. Lord, I ask in a special way for that reorientation and for your mercy. Fill these souls with your grace. Let them feel your presence. And Lord, in your mercy, heal them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Carlos, let me first go to Maggie. Maggie takes your intention too, by the way. If you can't get through, and I received an email from a listener today who was frustrated. I think it was she, if I remember correctly, and said to me, Marianne wrote to me. Marianne says, look, I can never get through. It's so frustrating. I'm asking for prayers for a close friend who's having a lot of medical issues and a lot of pain. And my son-in-law has connected tissue disorder, a tumor on the brain, and a blood clot condition that causes clotting throughout his whole body. He works so hard to support his family. So she's asking us to pray for him and number of other intentions. She's suffering from depression, is in constant pain, and doesn't seem to know a way out. Marianne, I'm glad you wrote. We're going to pray for you. If you don't get through on the phones, Maggie's on our Twitter account, and you can send those intentions to her at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani as well. Please do that, and on all of our social media. Maggie, what's coming in?
This first one, Drew, really stopped me in my tracks. I was like, wow, what a way to pray. John says, my prayer is for the sudden Pauline conversion type conversion of all authorities who are leading others to death, amen, despair, and destruction.
I'll join them on that.
What a great prayer.
Awesome.
Nancy is praying for her mom, that Jesus would heal her from cancer. Regina is praying that she understands God's will, She says, my divorce was finalized last month. I struggle with whether or not I should continue to pray for my marriage or file for an annulment.
Well, we'll be talking about that coming up in our last hour. Should you remain faithful after the divorce? A lot of people are. They're called standers or standing on those vows they took. And they're not pursuing that. They're praying for the conversion of that spouse. So it should be a great conversation. A lot to get into coming up.
Robert wrote to us and said, I'm asking for prayers for my wife, Monica. She has fourth stage kidney disease. She'll be starting dialysis soon. She's very worried and anxious about what is ahead. Please pray for a miracle, Drew. You said yesterday to pray big. Well, this is big.
Amen.
Thank you. And Mac says, I want to pray for all walking this Saturday for the Walk to Mary, especially us first-timers. And then he said, I'll see you there, Patrick and Drew.
Yeah.
And then Carol responded to that. She said, yes, my husband and I will also be walking for the first time. So wow. I want to pray for all of those participating that God would hear their petitions.
Yeah, I love that. And if you are at the dinner the night before, we're having a spaghetti dinner, I think. Patrick and I and Father will be there. Stop up and say hello to me. I'd love to know you pray with me. And if you see me on the trail as I'm plugging away, make sure you say hello, okay? I do want to pray for all those. We'll pray for Maggie's wedding that's coming up, too. And let's take Carlos. He's listening in Chicago and has a prayer intention for all of us. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I will make this short. My first prayer is a prayer of Thanksgiving. My second prayer is for a lady that called this morning into the Patrick Madrid show. Her teenage daughter found out about her having an abortion, and she was devastated. And I want her to know that she's got a lot of people praying for her. And for her daughter.
So she already had the abortion or she's going to have it?
She had the abortion a long time ago. She called into the Patrick Madrid show.
Okay.
Well, a long time ago, but her daughter just found out a couple weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and
Carlos, let me thank you for...
From the farm.
Thank you for calling with that prayer because, you know, she is so not alone. And I'm so grateful that you're praying for her and I'm glad you brought it to my attention. I want to pray for you and all your personal intentions, but I want to pray for any woman and really any man, because sometimes the father, the boyfriend, somebody else encourages the abortion, and you know, you're complicit in it as well. You might put up the money. It's so often when you make the mistake of an abortion, if you're a couple, I had a friend, she had two abortions when she was dating this guy. He would go on to become an attorney, and you know, she thought, okay, now I can get married and I'll have kids, and could no longer have children. And she beat herself up so hard over those past two abortions. She could have had a family. She thought that this is God's punishment for her. God said, the greater the sinner, the greater the right you have to his mercy. Right? And I want you to know that you made the mistake of having an abortion. God loves you infinitely. His mercy is so deep and so profound, we will marvel and contemplate it through all eternity. It's the astonishment of the angels. I just invite you to turn to the Lord right now and just ask for his mercy and ask for his forgiveness. And let's pray. We're going to pray this decade for you. And if you're Catholic especially, I encourage you to get to confession. You will find healing and liberty and freedom there. I think the hardest thing sometimes is forgiving yourself. You made the mistake. If you've been to confession, God's forgiven you. All right. Lord, I pray for the scourge and the woundedness that has come from abortion. I pray for an end to it, and I pray for healing for all those who made that mistake. I give you my heart, and I unite it to all who now pray with me, and we just ask for your healing and your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Albuquerque, New Mexico next. Eric, thanks for listening and thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I just wanted to offer prayers of thanks. My dad, Ed, was in a car accident. Turned out to be minor.
Okay.
I want to thank the Lord for the good care he's getting, but also he needs prayers for healing. I want to pray for my sister, Holly, who is being very brave and instrumental in making sure he gets the care and help he needs. Also, a friend from church, her mother, Juanita, fell. She needs stitches in her head, and she hurt her shoulder badly. Again, prayers of thanks for her that it wasn't worse.
Amen.
And I want to pray for all the caregivers, and I want to pray for her daughter, Brenda, my friend. She takes care of her. And finally, I want to pray prayers for you, Drew, your team, your family, your ministry, and everyone in all those beautiful souls at Relevant Radio. Thank you so much.
Eric, thank you very much for this prayer. So you're such a good man, and I love the way you look at life, because even the accidents, the falls, you're thanking God that it wasn't worse. I think it's such a beautiful way to look at things. Yeah, things could be infinitely far, far worse, but you thank God in all things. And Lord, I just ask you, bless Eric, and you reward him, and you give him the grace he needs, and you hear his prayers today in a very special way. We pray for his father who was in that car accident, for his family. Pray for all the elderly, all those who've been victims of accident and tragedy. And we give you our hearts now. We unite with Eric, our brother here in New Mexico, and we love you, Lord, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Diane. She's praying with us in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Drew. I just please pray for my 18-year-old nephew, Max. He sustained a very serious head injury this morning at work, and he had to be life-flighted to a local hospital, and he was unresponsive and had to have emergency surgery to alleviate the pressure on his brain.
Wow.
So I thank everybody for their fervent prayers. God bless you.
God bless you. Diane, we're with you. All right, we're with your 18-year-old nephew, too. Well, I pray again for those who've been victims of accident and tragedy. But when it comes to the brain, I'm always so apprehensive and so concerned. I just pray in a particular way that you be the hands of the physicians. You touch his brain and you allow him to heal completely. And I have confidence in the prayer of the chaplain, Diane, especially for these situations. My own nephew suffered a horrible head trauma, and I've shared his story many times. She never walked, talked, ever gone back to school. And he graduated from a great university with a wonderful degree in engineering, and the doctors call him a miracle. So we will cover him in this critical hour in this chaplain. Mark in Mankato, Minnesota. I'll add you to our intentions as well today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. See, I just wanted to ask for some prayers. I have a friend with thyroid cancer, and I also have two friends whose teenage daughters have contemplated suicide. And for anybody else out there that has any anxiety issues, and for Maggie and her Mr. Handsome Front Row Church.
Love it.
That not only that you have a great wedding day, but that your marriage, for however long it is to last, will be blessed.
Thank you.
Because we need more and more. Yes. Bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Let's pray for you too, Mark. I know you didn't ask for anything personally, but Lord, I give you Mark. I pray for his friend with thyroid cancer, for his teen girls who've been contemplating suicide. And Lord, I ask you, hold back the hand of anyone right now who is having suicidal ideations, who's been robbed of their hope, who doesn't see the reason for living. And I just ask you, intercede. Heal the anxiety, the depression, the fear, the loneliness, Lord, that is out there among so many hearts. And just ask you, hear all these prayers. And I give to you everyone on hold, everyone who's written, and everyone now who is praying with me. In your mercy, hear and answer us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Who else was it, Maggie, that I said before we began? Is there another saint I threw out? Somebody else today.
We talked about Padre Pio. Somebody.
Oh, we'll throw him in there. Say Padre Pio, pray for us. All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Philip and James, we'll
pray
call upon
us.
Them today. And all those angels and saints. Love it. Big communion of saints. We'll all be part of them. Stay with me. When we come back, I want to deal with loneliness. I saw a stunning, you probably have seen this too. I've seen more reports on it. Came across my radar. I kind of left it alone. The Surgeon General has come out, and it says that the epidemic that our country's facing today is no longer COVID, but it's loneliness. And it's rising amongst our young. And I think that's why we're seeing so much suicide as well. And they say it's deadly. It's literally deadly. And if you have somebody in your life who is suffering with loneliness, maybe they are contemplating harming themselves. Maybe there is, maybe they're overcome by depression and anxiety. You may want to tune into this next segment. They say that the mortality impact of these social disconnections is up to about 15 cigarettes a day. It's equal to that. Can you imagine smoking 15 cigarettes a day? Fascinating new study. I'll fill you in what the new public health advisory is from the U.S. Surgeon General, actually, when I return. We'll talk about that more. Feel free to join me, too. I'll be right back.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. This is the number one.
Yeah, America was lonely before COVID-19. Now it is a public health crisis. Even before the pandemic, remember the this nationwide shutdown when COVID first erupted. But boy, the byproduct of that, that isolation, really exacerbated the loneliness problem with a lot of people. And there was a new public health advisory that came out from the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, and he called loneliness an epidemic. Yeah, and I'm struck by that because, you know, words are very powerful. Is it really an epidemic? He laid out the strategy for strengthening individual relationships and trying to community bonds. I think it's a good thing. That's why I want to talk about it. I'll share one sentence from what he said. He said this. He found that, quote, lack of social connections are far more damaging to people's health than physical inactivity and even obesity. In addition to being associated with a greater risk of anxiety, depression, dementia, stroke, and cardiovascular disease, the advisory said that loneliness increases the risk of premature death by around 60%. That's staggering. That's a huge number. The potential mortality impact of social disconnection, they equated to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. You know, and the decline in this social cohesiveness, look, it's been going on a long time. I was thinking about this. We'll talk marriage a little bit later in the show today. But marriage rates, as you probably know, they're significantly down. The number of people who are living in single-person households is going up. Polls conducted in 1972 showed that there was around 45% of Americans felt that they could reliably trust other Americans. Fast forward 44 years, that's now shrunk down to about 30%. 23 years ago, Robert Putnam, he wrote a book called Bowling Alone, which it chronicled what the author believed was the decline of our social fabric, which can be traced in decline to other things like bowling. And it's only gotten worse since then. He cited in a video, one of the things he highlighted was video games and TV as contributing factors. What do we have today? We've got giant screen TVs, right? You've got tablets. You've got smartwatches and smartphones. You've got streaming. I mean, the list goes on and on, and we don't even go out anymore to interact with people. Movie theaters, you know, we sit at home and stream. But the question is, what's the solution? How do you remedy this? And the Surgeon General proposed something in the report that his boss probably didn't like, and that's religion. God's the answer to our problems. And I'll say it very directly, very boldly, very clearly. It's God. And the essence of most of these problems we're seeing in the world, it resides with the rejection of God and the embracements of things that are antithetical to him. The Biden administration is going after Catholics, including those sanctuary lamps I talked about a little bit earlier. And listen to what this report says, and I'll share another quote. It says, quote, religious or faith-based groups can be a source for regular social contact, serve as a community of support, provide meaning and purpose, create a sense of belonging around shared values and beliefs, and are associated with reduced risks, risk-taking behavior, end of quote. Unfortunately, the number of people who belong to organized religion, that too is declining, right? And, you know, people say, oh, I'm spiritual, not religious. I don't need organized religion. But really, evangelization can change that. It can. And I think that's part of the solution. If you are lonely, if you have someone in your life that is, and you want to join us, share what you're going through, feel free to do that. The number to get in is 888-914-9149. John Cutterback is a professor of philosophy at Christendom College, and he actually wrote a book, and I thought he'd be perfect to talk about this. It's called True Friendship, Where Virtue Becomes Happiness. And if you want to read it, by the way, great for your spiritual library. It's available at Ignatius.com. But he also started a website you might want to check out called Lifecraft. And he describes this as, I don't know, a community project about discovering and applying, you know, natural wisdom in today's challenging context, with special attention to issues that relate to friendship and work and the household and stewardship and amongst a number of other things. That website is life-craft.org. He joins me today. John, thank you for being here with us. It's always good to talk with you.
Likewise, Drew. Great to be with you.
Professor, it seems we are increasingly retreating into, you know, into our oyster shells, if you will, right? Dickens described Scrooge as being as solitary as an oyster. We don't want other people to bother us. There was a study I had seen, I guess it was earlier today, that fewer Americans now, I think the average American speaks to its neighbor. Last time you spoke to your neighbor was 3 weeks ago. So on average, you only talked to your neighbor 3 weeks ago. And I'm thinking, well, when was the last time I talked to mine? What's going on today within the culture? You know, we're more connected than ever with our technology, and yet I think we're more isolated. Why are we complaining about loneliness when so many people seem they want to be by themselves? Or is the, you know, well, let me just throw it to you that, give me an answer to that. And what's driving it?
Yeah. Well, We got a mess, Drew. There's no question about that. So I'm going to kind of go to 50,000 feet.
Sure.
I loved your presentation earlier. And in fact, obviously it does go back to God, you know, and that it always comes back to the first things. So maybe let's just focus in on that a little bit.
Sure.
I love our Lord's line. It has great philosophical root. All his lines have great philosophical roots. But the one where he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given you besides. If you put first things first, Aristotle and Plato would have put it in a sense simply this way, and it's the same fundamental insight. If you put first things first, then everything else will be in its place. If you put something first that should not be first, you're gonna literally ruin everything.
Yeah.
And we've set aside God. We've set aside the spiritual goods. We've set aside virtue. We've set aside wisdom. And we've pursued lower things. And when you pursue the lower things, you don't get the higher things, and you destroy the lower things too, and human happiness goes out the window. So, I mean, in a sense, I think the root of it is we need to go back to putting first things first.
Yeah.
And you know, God, his worship, following his direction, and then everything else is going to be given us besides.
And I think it's a great point. I couldn't articulate it better, and I think that really is the essence of all this. We live in a strange time. I mean, I think cultures have changed. As I was mentioning, the average person hasn't spoken to their neighbor in 3 weeks. It used to be a time people were far more interconnected. Parish life is a great way to do that. We see a decline in that. And there seems to be an atmosphere, I don't know, of mutual suspicion today. And
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of it is relating, I think, to the political and cultural divide right now in our country. How do we get past that? It seems like politics, this culture of politics and all these cultural ideologies, all this wokeism, all this other stuff, is creating greater division amongst people, family, and even friends. Are these just issues of, you know, so fundamental? Let me get back to that. There's so much I want to dive into here because I think this is such an important aspect of this.
Can I jump in, Drew?
Sure.
Because I feel like I didn't do justice to your great first question. I should get more specific. So we need to put first things first. Part of that is going back to the ordinary basics. And I love, you know, you're referring to we're not talking to our neighbors.
Right.
I mean, I come back to this a lot in my mind, and I really think we need to begin with ourselves. We need to be asking ourselves, and I know this is your spirit, of what can we do, right? Because we can so easily be drawn into kind of pointing our fingers at the terrible things that are going on, you know, by these other people and so forth. What about in our homes? Are we falling into the trap of not having the kind of rich home life, relationships, connectedness in the ordinary ways of human living? And I think really this is where we need to say, we need to go back to the basics. We need to begin at home and say, are we living in the presence of one another? Yeah. Are we sitting around the fire? Are we singing out loud together? Are we telling stories? Are we spending the kind of richer time that teaches people who they are and gives them a sense of belonging? I mean, these really fundamental things that have been torn away, and it's just dominoes from there.
It's so true. I take a look at the breakdown of the family today. Divorce has had an impact on multiple generations now. People form relationships. It's often modeled on their family, right? And trust. What is the breakdown of the family? And because, you know, I really think there's a tremendous spiritual element here too. I think Satan hates not just the human race, but he hates family and he hates marriage. And I see a direct
Amen.
Attack on that in a really direct, a very powerful way.
Amen.
What role does the breakdown of the family and the corruption of marriage have to do with this?
Everything. You're right there. I mean, so this is the thing. I love you adverting to, you know, Satan doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to follow God's plan. What's God's plan? We're made for relationship. And relationship in different levels. In the natural order, in God's beautiful natural order, the first relationships are the ones in the home. And so this is what first gives us, again, a sense of who we are, a sense of belonging, a sense of direction. And it's the foundation for any other relationships. right? And so you're absolutely right. When that breaks down, we have these teens that they don't have connection, relationship, presence in their home. And so then they don't, when they turn, particularly as teens, to need friendship, right? That's where you're really starting to move into the friendship time of life. They don't have the foundation. So if we start again at home, we can start to prepare our young people with our richer home relationships, then to be prepared to go into other further rich kinds of relationships.
Yeah. My guest today is Dr. John Cutterback. If you want to join us, you can dial in. Doctor, I have to take a short break here. We'd love to hear from you, share your thoughts, your views, your concerns. The number to get in is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I only have a few minutes with the doctor on the other side, but feel free to pull up a chair. Taking a look at the need for friendship in a lonely world. What's driving this spike in loneliness that they are now calling an epidemic? And what's the solution? What's the antidote to it? We'll unpack more of that when I return. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/Forrester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I look at all the lonely people. I look at all the lonely people.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding is being.
That's such a great song. It's a great album by the Beatles, too. You're taking a look at loneliness. Why America is experiencing a loneliness epidemic. And the Surgeon General says, look, it's as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And I hope you're not doing that, right? Not good for life expectancy and a whole litany of other things. But what's driving it? You know, I think there's a spiritual component to this. And look, if you look at these numbers, that means somebody in your life or your family is dealing with loneliness. True story. I have a sister who called me. She was concerned about her son. Her son wasn't living the most moral life. He was in a relationship with his girlfriend for a couple years. They were living together, and she ended up leaving him, you know, 6 months ago, whatever it was. They broke up. And he actually called his mother the other day. My sister called me and says, can you say a prayer for him? I said, why? What's going on? She goes, he called me. He's 30 years old. And she says, he just says that he is so lonely. He is so depressed and so lonely. But lonely was the word she used. He says he goes to work, and then he comes back, and he's in his apartment by himself. He says there's nobody there in his life. He's 30 years old, right? He's 30 years old. We're dealing with a loneliness epidemic. I think of the elderly. I think of the homebound, right? I think of those who maybe don't have anyone in their life, but they're finding that the number of those who are struggling with loneliness is a lot younger than you might think, you know? And if you got somebody in your life, I've got a solution for you, because look, loneliness will make you sick, right? Young adults, believe it or not, are at higher risk of this. And it always shocked me. How do you combat loneliness? That's what I want to talk about. There's a website I want to get you plugged into. I think this will be a tremendous help for you. It's called lifecraft.org, life-craft.org. It's Dr. John Cutterback's website. I hope, Doctor, did I get your website right? Did I get the right? It's Lifecraft?
Yep.
Okay, and I was just going through it. Tremendous resources. I want to talk a little bit about that. And by the way, grab a pen and paper. I want to get you plugged in to what Dr. John Cutterback is teaching right now. If you want a free class on understanding human nature, I think this will be a real eye-opener for you. I think you'll love this. You can go to getprinciples.com. You might have heard my colleague Patrick talking about that too. Getprinciples.com/truth. And I want to thank the doctor for offering that class, especially Christendom, who's one of our sponsors here. Doctor, let's talk about solutions here, too, because, you know, we all have somebody that we're either praying for or know that might be struggling with anxiety, depression. Maybe it's loneliness. And I was shocked at the demographics for younger people. How critical is the home and the resources that you even have available there on your site?
Yeah, it's the starting place for all of us. You know, all of us are connected to a home in some form or fashion, pretty much all of us. And that's where, by God's plan, it begins. So, and I think the first major step we can be taking is strengthening our homes. Now, and then, if that's a place of life, connection, belonging, we open our homes and we draw other people in. I mean, this is, you know, when we come upon people who feel absolutely no connection, one of the things they need to see is how it can happen. And lo and behold, they discover it's in this faith-filled home. It's in this home that's all about following the commandments and following God's law and worshiping God, and find out, wow, this is what gives meaning, and this, Drew, is what gives connection. This is the great philosophical principle here, is it's the richer kind of activities that connect people. If you're just pursuing low things, bodily pleasure and so forth, the things that's always served up to us, this is why all these people are lonely. That doesn't connect you. It doesn't bring you together. If you're just flying down the roller coaster with somebody, that's nothing. If you're flying down the roller coaster with someone that you share a deeper life with, then that's really fun. But although you just share the lower things, it's not a common life. And so we're wallowing in the misery of pursuing all these things that are served up to us, and it doesn't unite us with one another.
Yeah. So how do, you know, for loved ones, I'll take my sister, for example, I mean, what do they do to help somebody who's in that crisis of loneliness? How do families who suffer divorce or experiencing this type of division, I mean, how do they begin healing? How do they safeguard their loved ones, whether they're elderly or whether they're young? What are some of the to-dos?
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, how about this? Let's go right to the top. This is the age of mercy. Yep. And we need to bring him the father of the prodigal son. We need to bring him the heavenly father and the heart of the father, and say, here is a heart for you. Here is a heart that has meaning. Here's a heart that's going to forgive, and here's a heart that's going to give direction. And here are the people who are living in that heart, and they're there for you, and they want you to come and live this life along with you. So, we're trying to bring them Christ, because Christ gives meaning. Christ gives connection. And anyway, you go back to the home. In any way we can, open our homes, open our hearts, is because it's that personal connection that's going to help them see, and it's going to help them feel, and it's going to help them taste that, oh, this is what meaning and connection looks like.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's grab a call or two for you, because I only have a few moments, and time goes very quickly. Ruth's in Austin, Texas. If you want to join us too, you can get in now, 888-914-9149. Ruth, hi, you're on the air with Professor John. Cut it back.
A great topic. I learned I had a semester in nursing school, and I think that session for elderly is that isolation is the worst thing, you know, for them, lack of transportation or something. But for the Catholic churches, there's not always a youth or young adult or singles group or senior singles. So, you know, that hurts, I think, a lot. I remember I was about 50 and I went to the singles group at San Jose. Mm-hmm. And a father who had been married and, you know, his wife walked away. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he said, y'all are old. When he looked at me and somebody else. But then they had like a singles group, and I guess they got the word out that it was all ages, and like even the 80-year-old lady came and everything, you know, the older people came too.
Well, Ruth, thank you for calling. Thanks. Yeah. I only have a moment left. I want to let the doctor respond to you as well. Is your point that churches should be doing more? Is that kind of what you're trying to get at?
Yes, they definitely can. And I don't know if the Legion of Mary ladies go out to visit the sick anymore, but they need to be doing phone calls in.
Amen to
COVID.
That. Well, Ruth, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I wish I had more time for you. Doctor, I'll give you a little bit of thought.
Amen. Well, I mean, I love the point there. I mean, the Catholic Church, the parishes, we absolutely need to be having groups that are reaching out and giving a context
elderly, the divorced. But my mind keeps going back to the young and the terrible report that you cited at the beginning. I've been reading that too. The rest of us need to be getting involved in giving the young context where they can come together in a healthy context away from their social media and be doing richer kind of things together and having decent kind of dances and having decent kind of charity works and things together. That absolutely is the thing we all have to be willing to put our energy into here.
Yeah. Stephen is listening in Chicago. He's got a comment for you. Hi, Stephen. You're on the air with Dr. Cutterback.
Yeah, my question is, I have a daughter who's about 25 years old. She broke up with her boyfriend, and then she turned to females for relationships. Mm-hmm. And she was depressed, and I tried to talk her out of it, back to, dating guys again, but she's very reluctant to do that. Yeah. And I'm trying to find out how to talk to her, what to say to her, that she would, stop her attraction of females and return to a heterosexual.
Doctor, you got less than a minute, probably about 30 seconds. Let me give you a second advice for Stephen.
First of all, I want to make sure that Stephen knows about the incredibly important group called Courage and Encourage, which is for family members of people that are dealing with same-sex attraction. They are the masters of bringing the mercy of Christ and bringing good science and philosophy to help those, kind of get those people back on track and reach out to them with love.
That website, Stephen, for those who struggle with same-sex attraction, it is CourageRC, I believe, .org or .com, but it stands for Roman Catholic, CourageRC. Encourage is for family members like you as well. Great resources, great info. I have to take a short pause. Stay with me. I'll be right back.